you got your Bibles, I want you to really pay attention today. If you're a Christian, pay attention. If you're a sinner, pay attention. This sermon may change your life. It'll help you. Turn to Luke chapter 16 and go down to verse 19 and stand to your feet, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Luke number 16, verse 19, down through verse 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may not give me a bottle of water, that he may dip the tip of his finger into water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Our Father, I pray that every Christian and every sinner and everybody that professes anything would pay real good attention today. May you stir our souls and get us ready for revival. May we see the awesomeness of this subject, the horror of this subject, the heat of this subject. May we be entered into a thought this morning that would stir us down to our very foundation. And we'll praise and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Few preachers are preaching on the subject that I'm preaching on today. There's a number of subjects today in our fundamental churches and the churches around that I would call, because there's not preaching much on them, taboo in my preaching. Most folks want to avoid what I'm going to preach on this morning. There's a lot of preachers that are going to get up and give some kind of flowery talk today. No mention of heaven, no mention of hell, no mention of an altar call, no stirring of people, just a little flowery talk. As a Bible preacher in 2018, I must follow the pattern of the greatest preacher that ever preached on planet Earth, and his name was Jesus Christ, who mentioned hell more than he ever mentioned heaven by about 5 times or more. Now, some of you never get fazed by this subject. Some of you don't want to hear about this subject. But here's what I'm preaching on this morning. Why I must preach on hell. Let me say it again. Why I must preach on hell. Let me say it again. Why I must preach on hell. There's 4 facts about hell. No, not theories. What I'm preaching from today is not a fictitious parable. This is not a parable. It's a real story about 2 men. And if you're any kind of Bible student, you know parables never mention a proper name. Never. 4 facts. And 4 reasons I must preach on hell. Number 1. I preach on hell because the position denied on hell. There's a lot of people just don't believe it. I'll tell you why they don't believe it. They say this, well, loving God wouldn't send you to hell. Loving God sent his son to die for you. He ain't sending you to hell. You'll go over that. You say, oh, Preacher Smith, that's old timey and that's archaic and you need to get up with the times. You need to get out here in some of these churches that got their little contemporary music and the smoke coming up from their altar, and they're real mushy and they never mention hell. They never mention saved. They never mention born again. They never mention be changed. I'm sorry. As long as it's in the Bible, I'm going to preach it. I want to say, first of all, an adamant dismissal. You know, I hear this, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. You may be having it hard. You ever heard this expression? Well, I'm living in hell right now. Well, I don't want to upset you. There ain't nothing you're living in right now even compares to where you're going. Hell can't be compared to what you're living. You may be living hard. You may be having it tough. But don't you dare compare it with hell, because hell's an awful place. Then secondly, an apathetic demonstration. I tell you how most people live, even Christians. They live like there's no hell. They don't say there's no hell. They just live in a life like there's no hell. Am I preaching? I'll tell you something, friend. There's a lot of people just living for wicked practices. If I can put hell in my mind, I'll just live wickedly. I'll be a bitter, angry, mean, drunk. Because I'm not going to live like there's a hell. Then they talk about worldly pursuits. And I say to you, what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Worldly pursuits. I ain't trying to be a whole lot here. I just want to be known as an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preacher. Somebody's trying to keep people out of hell. Somebody loves people. Somebody has a burden for people. Somebody that hurts for people. them wrong priorities. Oh, if you're living like there's no hell, you ain't got no priorities. He ain't going to come to church. It's not that important to you, especially Sunday night and Wednesday night. And you put a lot of things you gain on paper and your social priorities. And some of you might be living like you're going to live forever. But look at me. You are not. The Jehovah Witnesses call God a liar every week. They don't believe in it. There's a certain group believes in a purgatory. I want you to know something. There ain't no such thing as purgatory. That's false and of the devil. He said, why would a holy God send you to hell? That is the reason you're going to hell, because he is holy and sin must be punished. Secondly, why I preach on hell? Why I must? Secondly, because of the place that describes hell. Just look at some of the passage today. Will y'all notice something here? I don't know if y'all noticed this in this scripture or not. I've preached on this before, but I never noticed this statement quite like this. When Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels and taken into heaven, or at that time, Abraham's bosom. I want y'all to know this. I believe this with all my heart. If one of your loved ones die, or if you die, and you're a saved person, say man, woman, boy, or girl, I want you to know something. There's going to be angels from another country come and escort you to heaven. But the Bible doesn't even say that about the rich man. You know what the Bible says about the rich man? Lazarus was carried, but the rich man was buried. Kind of fine out. That's kind of final, isn't it? Can I say a few things? You say, Preacher Smith, are you trying to scare me? Is scaring you get you into heaven? Yeah, I am. Number one, I want you to notice the suffering that happens continuously in hell. Allison helped me with a few scriptures. The one I just quoted, for what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Suffering. Fiery flame. It's where the worm dieth not. Out of darkness will it be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some people make a stupid statement like this. I don't care to go to hell. My friends will be there. You won't know a thing about that. What a stupid, foolish question. Answer. Can I say something? Can I give you a little science? Can I give you a little science about hell? You people are in gas and some of you people familiar with fire. There's actually three types of fire. Now, most people only use two types. There's what we know as yellow fire. You've seen yellow fire. In my little electrical furnace there at the electrical fireplace at the house, it spews out yellow fire. That's hot. I want you to know, anybody that knows any scientific facts knows that blue fire is a lot hotter than yellow fire. But maybe you never took it beyond this. I want you to know, Zach, ain't going to be no yellow fire in hell. Neither is there going to be blue fire. Mm-mm. There's a third kind of fire. Not mentioned much. Not talked about much. It's called black fire. It is several hundred times hotter than blue fire. See, in hell, it's going to be outer darkness. It's going to be black fire. They're going to be in darkness, in black fire, burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. So it's going to be a place of suffering continuously. It's going to be a place of solitary confinement. Abraham said to the rich man, I can't get there and you can't get here because there's a great gulf between us. You might be throwing your parties on Saturday night, Friday night. And you say, boy, I can't wait to party in hell. There ain't going to be no partying in hell. No. There'll be heat there. There'll be horror there. There'll be hunger there, but there'll be no partying. And then there's going to be a sorrowful cry. Could you imagine? Could you imagine hearing from over there? Now, Abraham's bosom now in heaven. Could you imagine its scream got beyond the gulf fix over into Abraham's bosom? And he cried, he said, not send me a bottle of purified Sam's water. No. Just tell Lazarus to come and dip my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. For you that don't believe in any hell and fire and hell, you just heard what he said. He was experiencing this, so I think I'd take a first time, a person that's experiencing it right now. Somebody help me. Say, preacher, why? And where you preach? Because of the cries. And then I'll notice a sad conclusion. Sorry, son, Abraham. Lazarus can't come to you. And by the way, when he's living, you didn't even want to have nothing to do with him anyway. You wouldn't even give him a crumb. You wouldn't even address his sores. But now you want him to come and dip some water. No. He can't do it. By the way, this rich man started becoming a prayer warrior. This rich man started wanting to proclaim the gospel. This rich man started wanting to practice religion. Too late. You're going to get saved. You better get saved in this world. I want to give you this too. Everybody in hell believes in it. Then look what he said in verse 25. He said, son, remember, or sure, consciousness. I want to tell everybody that's listening to me by live stream, everybody that's listening to me in this auditorium, you will remember this sermon. And if you die and go to hell, you will remember my sermons on hell. You'll remember me preaching on the blood. You'll remember me preaching on the resurrection. You'll remember me preaching about the grace of God. You'll remember me preaching about the love of God for you. Number three, I'm almost done. I want to talk now about the people destined for hell. You want to hear about it? Number one, precious families. Precious families are going to be there. Somebody's dad's going to be there. Somebody's mother's going to be there. Somebody's brother is going to be there. Somebody's sister is going to be there. Somebody's uncle is going to be there. Somebody's cousin will be there. Somebody's nephew and niece will be there. Can you imagine one of your family members going to that place? Secondly, personal friends are going there. People you shop with. People you play ball with. People that you're on Facebook with. People you Twitter with. Your friends. I played football at Sissonville. I was right tackle on offense. And the left tackle was my best friend. My left tackle, me and him kind of separated ways. I went for a physical in the military, and I couldn't get in the military because of my health. But he did qualify for the service, so he went to Vietnam. And he came back from Vietnam alive. It was a Thursday night that I drove to Sissonville, and I pulled up into his driveway. And I knocked on the door, and sure enough, Larry come out. I said, "Larry, I don't know if you've heard about me." He said, "Oh, yeah, I heard you got saved. You got religion." And I looked at him. I said, "I didn't get religion, but I did get saved. And I know Jesus." I said, "Larry, can I take a few minutes to take a track and something like this one?" Because I told him about whosoever will. Not this one, but another one. "And could I just share the gospel with you, Larry?" And because he loved me so much and I was such a friend, he said, "You can. Probably won't do you no good, but you can." So I'll give him the gospel, plain as I could give him. And he looked at me and he said, and he called me by my first and middle name because that's what he knew me by. He said, "John David, I'm not going to get saved right now. I think you're right. I think you really are right, John David. And I do want to do that one of these days. But I'll be honest with you. I survived Vietnam. I think I probably could survive anything else." He said, "By the way, me and my girlfriend's going over in Virginia tomorrow. We're going to ride horses and get drunker than skunks." I said, "Oh, Larry, don't do that." I said, "I think that ain't a wise thing." He said, "John David, now don't preach anymore to me." I said, "Yes, sir, I won't." Ladies and gentlemen, he did go to Virginia. And then his girlfriend and him did get drunk. And they did ride horses. But they did something real stupid. They rode horses drunk. And they got up out of the farm up on the road. Drunk. And a tractor trailer came by and run over both horses and killed them. And killed them two precious people. And right now in hell, they're lifting their eyes up. They're lifting their eyes up. Your friends are going to hell. Your neighbors are going to hell. Listen to this. Your petty foes are going to hell. You got some people as your enemies. I want y'all all to know something. I got enemies, but I don't want one of them to go to hell. I don't want a terrorist to go to hell. I don't want a murderer to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Hell doesn't have a quota. Hell's there for everybody that rejects Jesus. Can I go on just a little further? There are going to be plentiful amounts of people in hell. I don't have a watch, but let's just do this. Look here. Look here. That's about a second. 1.8 people just died. If I preach a minute, 106 people will die. The next hour, before I get done preaching this hour of worship, 6,392 people will die. When the day ends, 153,000 425 will die. When the month ends, 4,679,000 will die. And when this year is up, 56 million people would have died. Now, it's a statistic out there that I think may be too high, but I'll just use it because they got it 20 years ago in a survey. Survey of people, 1,000 people that were surveyed whether they're going to heaven or hell. And was their salvation based on the blood? And 3% of that 1,000, or 3 out of 100, said they were going to go to heaven based on the blood. And the rest of them were going to die and go to hell. If that is the case, and 56 million people die, then only 1,689,000 of them will go to heaven. And that may be a high count. Lastly, the procedure demanded about hell. If there is a hell, and there is, what do I do? I think you ought to have a concerned interest. Can I walk down there with you for a minute, just a second? And I'm being sweet as I can this morning. I know it's an uncomfortable subject. Can I ask you people over there, did anybody ever tell you about hell and heaven? Raise your hand if they did. Sure they did. Let me ask you people in the middle, did anybody ever tell y'all about hell? Come on now. Sure they did. How about you people in here? Anybody ever tell y'all about hell? Raise your hand. How about over here? Anybody ever tell y'all about hell? Let me ask you something. Now, all of you, how many of you are glad they told you? Then shame on you if you're not telling anybody else about hell. You thank God for somebody else doing it for you, but why not you do it for them? And a compassionate intercession, the rich man's praying from hell for his family. How many lost people you know? How many prayers are you sending up? You know what? You listen to this carefully. 90% of your prayers are praying for somebody sick to get well instead of praying for somebody lost to get saved. That's the truth. And by the way, they may not get well here, but they will get well over there. Amen. And number three, a committed involvement. How often, listen to me. How often? I just wonder. I ain't trying to put you under conviction. I wonder how many of you got one of these on you today. How involved are you? How many's ready to tell somebody about hell and heaven and the love of God? I wish I could. We love our iPhones. I wish I could connect your iPhone to hell this morning and just let you listen to the screams and the horror and the pain and some way get it streamed up to your iPhone. I say you might be on your knees praying for one of your friends and family today. You won't let everybody else stand your way of getting on the altar and say, I need revival today. By the way, if you believe what I'm preaching, it'll keep you in church on Sunday morning. And you'll come to church on Sunday night if you're not providentially hindered. And if you're not working on Wednesday night and you're not hindered, you'll be there on Wednesday night. Because, see, you're involved in getting people saved. You're involved in church work. You love God. Oh, there'll be people, y'all, step back there when I give the altar call. You won't even come up and pray for your neighbor, your brother, your sister. You say, it's not that real. When you stood at their funeral, and by the way, I'm going to say something. I don't preach anybody into hell, but I ain't going to preach anybody out of hell to you. If I do their funeral, I go to funerals, and these preachers get up there, and I know they've been rotten sinners, and they make him look like Abraham. I'm not lying. You think they're washed in the blood, and they ain't been in church in 20 years. You said, preacher, that's a little bit strong, man. You're not strong enough. I'm almost done. So people ask me, said, where is hell anyway? I could give you a suggestion, but I'll just give you a real good answer. Where God put it. Lastly, I'm done. I'm going to call this a changed identity. If you're lost this morning, I don't want you to spend 1 minute in hell. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not religion, not a sacrament, not communion, not because you're a Baptist, not because you're a member of Tays Valley. No, because you're saved. Now, this may not be taken right way, what I'm about to say, but you'll probably agree with me when I say it if you think about it. I'll give our older workers a little suggestion. It'll help you. When they come to the altar, and I don't want you to say, okay, so I'm not correcting you, I just don't want you to say. When they come to the altar, they've raised their hand, they didn't know if they're saved. Do you ask them this question? Are you a Christian? Don't ask them that. No. Because about everybody uses that. And then I'm going to tell you something else you don't want to ask them. You don't want to ask them if they're saved either. Because, see, saved ain't the same here, like out there as it is in here. There's one church right down here near Hurricane, near the interstate. We went to their members' house and asked them if they're saved. Here's what they said. We don't know what that word is. So you don't want to ask them if they're saved. If they've ever been saved, they have to say yes and not be. Now, I'll tell you what you need to ask them. And I'll ask all y'all. Put away Tays Valley membership. Put away your religion you had in the past. I'm looking you right in your eye. If you died right now, do you know 100% you'd go to heaven? And if you say, I'm not sure, then you're not saved and you need to get up here. You need to get saved. You say, but I did a little religion at one time. Dump it for Jesus. Dump it for being washed in the blood. Dump it for being a new creature. I must preach on hell. Bow your head with me. Nobody moving. Please don't leave the auditorium yet. You may have to in a moment. I understand that. But please wait just a while. If you're here right now and you say, Preacher Smith, if I died today, I cannot tell you 100% I'd go to heaven. I can't not tell you that. If you cannot tell me that, will you raise your hand and say, pray for me, that you're not 100% sure. Raise that. Yes, sir, I see that hand. God bless you, sir. I've been praying for you, by the way. I know you've been coming. I've been praying for you. I love you, sir. Somebody else? Preacher Smith, I don't know 100% I'm going to hell. Heaven. I can't tell you I am. Anybody else, raise your hand. I don't care if you're a member of this church or not. Raise your hand if you ain't sure. Just sip it up if you don't know. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you in this church have somebody gone to hell in your life, or friend, or neighbor, or brother, or sister, or mom, or dad? You got somebody going to hell in your life. Raise your hand if you got somebody here going to hell in your life. I wonder, how much do you care for that somebody? Do you care enough to brush off your clothes and come around this altar and pray? Do you care that much? And I'm not going to browbeat you, okay? I ain't into that. Do you care that much? Just come on. Slip out of your seat. Stand, church, stand. Just come on. Come on. If you raise your hand and say, Preacher Smith, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I really ain't, preacher. And you raise your hand. Sir, would you come on? Won't you get saved? Get really saved. Won't you come on? That's right. Jared, this brother here needs to say, this man right here. Come here, Jared. Jared, won't you, Jared? Right here. Right here. He needs saved. Come on. Anybody else want to say, church, do you have any family? Do you have a brother, sister, cousin, neighbor? You ought to feel that hell. Feel that hell. Feel that hell. Father, touch us. Move, give us revival. And we'll praise you. In Jesus' name. We're singing. So others of you ought to get down.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed?
Watch your tears.
In the blood.
Watch your tears.
Of the Lamb.
On the altar. Amen. Listen to me. I asked you last week. Next Sunday is Bring a Family Sunday. Do you care about some family? Not necessarily your family. One of your neighbors you live. Will you go up to your neighbor? Bring one family to church next week for revival. Are you burdened enough for that lost person you prayed for at the altar to bring them next week? God help us. I'm working on two families. I want them both to come. We're dealing here at the altar. I won't leave till we get done here. I hope you just didn't get stirred this morning. I hope you got a change in your soul. You'll be here tonight to hear me preach. You'll want to bring somebody with you if you can. God is moving. You know there's people in here I know that didn't come that you don't know you're saved. Woo! Business is happening up here. I prayed for this man this week. And I thank God's getting ready to answer it. Hey, people come to my church over 4 weeks, I'm nervous about them. And they ain't been saved yet. Talk to me, Jerry. Wait a minute, Jerry. He's getting ready to get saved. They're going to meet a little bit more after service. Sir, look at me. Don't trust no religion. Don't trust no anything in the past. You don't want to trust none of that dead religion. You make sure you trust Christ. I'm telling you this morning, don't leave out here without Jesus. All right, Brother Smith. Church is at 5 tonight. Do your best to be here. I'll do my best to have something for you. Father, thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost. Lord, 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 touch, we pray. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.